You are Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. Make sure to throw me a follow on Twitter at Zach_Goodall, as well as my co-host, Chris Thornton. You can find him at Misto Christopho, and most importantly, the Locked On Jaguars handle at Locked On Jaguars. You can find our website where I've got my most recent quarterback scouting report up. That is on Missouri quarterback Drew Locke. Find out why I do and why I don't like him over there at LockedOnJaguars.com, as well as the rest of the content we're pumping out. We're covering all the offensive coordinator rumors and interviews and hopefully soon to be hirings for the Jacksonville Jaguars, as well as position coaches, and then getting really into the Senior Bowl stuff, as that is just under 2 weeks away. Chris, are you as excited as I am to make the trek out to Mobile?
I'm so excited. I was excited last year, but I'm even more excited this year because now I can go to Veet's and drink. So that'll be.
I thought you were going to say you're more excited this year because you've got your pal coming with you, but I get it.
I mean, Kyle went last year, so.
Oh, so I'm not as I guess I'm not as important as your cousin. But make sure to follow along with us as we do make that trip out to Mobile and cover this Senior Bowl. We've done a couple of scouting reports already on the three big-name quarterbacks that are going to be there. I've got some more content coming your way on that within the next 2 weeks before we head out there. But today we're going to focus in on coaching, as the Jaguars have now had two interviews for their offensive coordinator position. And we're also going to talk a little bit about what's going on across the rest of the league, catch Jaguars fans up. Some names that are probably going to start getting scratched off the list for offensive coordinator with the hirings across the league, as well as where the league seems to be going while they're searching for coaches. And I feel like while that may not directly apply to Jacksonville now, it's best to get an idea as to how everything is changing across the NFL, how that could affect future Jaguars hirings, as well as what's going on right now. But we're going to start. The Jaguars did interview former Seattle Seahawks offensive coordinator Darrell Bevell yesterday for the same position. There was a Jason Lockenfora report out last week that he was going to. No one trusts Jason Lockenfora, so we were waiting to report on that until we had confirmation from someone legitimate. Now we do. It came from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network that the Jaguars did do that one yesterday. And I'm really curious to see, you know, what their interest is with him, how much the offense would change, because the offense in Seattle was very balanced. Everyone likes to think that it was so pass heavy and they didn't trust their running backs because of that one Super Bowl play. But all in all, I still think Bevell would be a fine hire, considering the Jaguars probably don't have a ton of intriguing options at this point. He's a guy that, you know, got the run game going there with Marshawn Lynch, with Thomas Rawls, who we're going to talk about in a couple of minutes, but also the passing game. He's the guy that scouted out Russell Wilson, one of the very few scouts that actually showed up to his pro day for Russell Wilson, was behind the pick, behind the development. Like, this is a good resume for an offensive coordinator to get involved in scouting on a quarterback, especially for a team that is in desperate need for one right now. And, I mean, I just mentioned Thomas Rawls. The Jaguars signed him today to a futures contract, as he's been out of a job for a little bit. Chris, I guess the signs are pointing that he could possibly be a favorite for the job, couldn't he?
Yeah, and I mean, you kind of hit it on the head with the Bevell thing and just how the Jaguars probably don't necessarily have a whole lot of intriguing options kind of trying to hammer them for the job, because there are a lot of job openings in the NFL. Now, they're slowly starting to close, but there's still staffs that need to be filled, especially with all these head coaching hires. The NFC filled up all of their jobs. The AFC is still slowly filling theirs in, but those holes are starting to fill, and Jacksonville is starting to kind of be left with the scraps almost at who they want to get. Now, there's still some intriguing guys like Sean Ryan, the guy that you like. Zach Taylor hasn't officially signed anywhere or anything. Kliff going to Arizona was kind of out of nowhere. Well, not out of nowhere, but he was the OC at UCLA for what?
A couple of weeks.
For a couple of weeks, resigned. Or USC, I believe. went to Arizona, got the job there. So the options that the Jags are probably left with are probably dwindling a little bit. Now, however, this doesn't mean that the Jaguars haven't always been fixated on Bevel to begin with. He might have been their guy from the get-go, and all the other names are irrelevant, which if that's the case, great. At least they're kind of committed to a plan. However, it might not be a good plan. We'll see. But Thomas Rawls coming to Jacksonville on that futures contract could kind of, you know, like you said, is maybe pointing signs to the hiring in coming days, because under Bevel, Thomas Rawls had, well, his best season out of three. Rawls is only 25 right now. So if he comes in and the running back room for the Jaguars right now is going to be drastically different next year, there might not be a single person that's in the running back room right now that is going to be on the field or in the room next season. So Thomas Rawls might be the first running back that we know going into next year. And if you're just kind of looking at his kind of PFF grades, his best year was in 2015. Had 147 attempts for 830 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 fumble, 22 first down runs. 37 first down runs. 10 of which, or 22 of which, were 10 plus yards. So he had a good year. The second, in 2016, had an identical year with rushing attempts, kind of dropped in yardage, stayed at 4 with touchdowns, but had no fumbles. So 2017 is kind of where things start getting a little skewy. It's Bevel's last year. The offensive line is an absolute mess. Tom Cable wrecks things there. Just everybody's not playing up to the potential. So that is one thing to look at when looking at Thomas Rawls and seeing Bevel. So stitching those two together, piecing them in here in Jacksonville could be interesting to see how that goes. If he kind of wants to move with Rawls as the one and maybe draft another guy, we'll see. This is obviously going on if Bevel does in fact get the offensive coordinator job. It's not like he's a head coach and has all this power, but maybe Marone's willing to allow his OC to kind of pick his offense, as we saw how bad it was this past season.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think that they need to try and look into that balance, because they just seemed so out of it this past year. They tried to really implement, you know, power running in 2017. It worked, and they were the highest running team in the NFL, even though it's obviously so skewed these days to favor passing. That's just where this league is going, and we're going to talk about that more later. But as soon as Leonard Fournette started going out this past year, they started going heavy, heavy, heavy passing. Blake Bortles was not throwing for anything less than like 40 times a game for a couple weeks stretch, if I remember correctly. So they need, and I mean, obviously that didn't work. So they need to, you know, try and find that balance, and I believe Bevel can offer that. Now, they have also interviewed another candidate, or at least are in the process of doing that, and he's not as much of a balance guy. Rather, he's up to date. You know, he's with the times. He likes to pass the ball. That being Todd Monken. We're going to talk about him interviewing for the Jaguars offensive coordinator position when we come back from this quick break.
Today's episode of Locked On Jaguars is brought to you by A1 Sliders. Are you one of hundreds of coastal Northeast Florida homeowners who struggle every day to open and close your sliding glass door? Why spend all the money it takes to replace your sliding glass door when Tony and the gang at A1 Sliders could save you money and repair your door for you? A1 Sliders is licensed and insured. They offer free estimates, upfront pricing, and will help you save on heating and cooling costs in your home from leaky sliding glass doors. And at A1, your schedule comes first. A1 Sliders is a fan of the Locked On Jaguars podcast, and in partnering with us, they will give you $25 off of any repair you order, no limit. Just mention Locked On Jaguars before getting your repairs done. Call A1 Sliders now for your free sliding glass door repair estimate at 386-538-6835. Or check out their website at www.a1sliders.com. That's 386-538-6835 and www.a1sliders.com. And don't forget to mention Locked On Jaguars for $25 off of any repair you order. A1 Sliders, licensed and insured, LLC, covers the Jacksonville area from Fernandina Beach through New Smyrna Beach, based out of Palm Coast, Florida. Contact for more details on location and any questions you may have.
So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers decided to relieve former head coach Dirk Koetter of his duties a couple of weeks ago. It was kind of something that people saw coming. Tampa had really fallen apart a lot of questions at the quarterback position. But one thing that rang true for 3 years under the Ketter administration was that despite Jameis Winston being a bit turnover prone and having some questions, they still had the passing game flowing. They were one of the best, most efficient passing offenses in the NFL in terms of yardage, really being able to move the ball deep downfield, a vertical passing team. And a lot of that is due to Todd Monken being up with air raids, that type of offense, really trying to spread things out in the passing game. Well, he is interviewing for the Jaguars offensive coordinator position today, according to Jeff Prosser of 1010XL and his sources. He's a guy that's coached in Jacksonville before. He was here for 4 years from 2007 to 2010 as the wide receivers coach. When Jack Del Rio was fired, Monken ended up leaving. I believe he became an offensive coordinator at Oklahoma State. He started as a receiver coach at Oklahoma State, got promoted within a year to being the offensive coordinator, and made his way back. I'm trying to remember the timeline correctly. He took on 3 years as a head coach at Southern Mississippi after Oklahoma State. First 2 years were not that great. They were pretty rough, first-time head coach. And in his third year, they went 9-5. So he was able to get a winning record out of that. And then he hopped back to the NFL as soon as the Buccaneers came calling, and he took their offensive coordinator job. So he's got a bit of a history, especially a history in Jacksonville. He's obviously a bit of an offensive guru. He gets how the passing game is supposed to work. And like we, Chris and I have both said for weeks, the most important part of this offensive coordinator search is going to be someone who understands the passing game, can develop quarterbacks, even if they're not that great at balancing the run, which Jacksonville does want to do. But they've got enough minds here that understand how power running works. I mean, Doug Marrone knows everything about that. Tom Coughlin knows everything about that. But they need a guy who can truly develop a passer. Todd Monken, I mean, he's gotten a ton of production out of his quarterbacks. I think he's a guy that is advanced in terms of passing mind. And that could end up being a pretty solid hire as well. I'm a little bit surprised at the names that they're able to pull in, because Monken's had 3 head coaching interviews since Ketter got fired just over a week and a half ago. So this would be an interesting one to see play out as well.
So what you're saying is him being a guru means that Blake Bortles is back next year?
Absolutely not. This ain't going to be like Bruce Arians taking back Jameis Winston. There is no way that Blake Bortles is this team's starting quarterback next year.
You say that now, but just you see, Dave Caldwell will make sure he rides or dies on this boat. It should have died, you know, like 3 weeks ago. But anywho, I'll be quite honest. I am not very versed on when it comes to Todd Monken. So I will let you all cast your, faith in what Zachary Goodall has to say. But, I mean, looking at his resume, I mean, he's had a lot of coaching gigs. But as a head coach at Southern Miss, it was kind of a rough 1-11, 3-9. But like you said, capped it off with 9-5, made it kind of look a little bit good, lost in his bowl game, bounced, went to Tampa Bay. And like you said, this year had one of the better passing offenses in the league. They were 13th per PFF in overall passing rating. So, I mean, I would take a top 13 passing offense in the league. The Jaguars are probably like almost last. They're 26th. So 13 spots lower than Tampa Bay. But at this point, Jaguars fans, our hopes and our expectations are kind of low again. So really an average offense at this point, especially just in year one, an average offense to meh, maybe kind of good, kind of bad, you know, but average, I think, would kind of make a lot of people, I don't want to say happy, but satisfied, I think, is the right word for it, because having a guy that can go out there and maybe throws for 200 yards a game, a touchdown or two, maybe an interception here and there, obviously that rides on who your quarterback is, but if you have to get a bridge and the system allows them to do that, because we know how good coordinators can turn games around with who they have. Look at the Shanahans. They know the guys that they want to instill in that offense, they get them, and they run these damn good offenses, but they can make things work. So that's who I'm hoping, whoever the Jags get at OC, whether it be Monken or whether it be Bevel, that they're able to do that, because Nathaniel Hackett obviously was not able to do that this past year.
Yeah, for sure. And that's, I mean, like we said, that's just going to be so important, is being able to at least make this passing game average. Now, in all honesty, if you were to tell me I had to pick between the two of Bevel and Monken, I would probably go Bevel, even though I think it's incredibly important that this passing game does get figured out. There were still some turnover issues that were going on down there with Jameis Winston, and Monken, I believe, was a fan of Winston at the same time, and Ryan Fitzpatrick had that as well. So I don't know how, what kind of style Monken will want out of a quarterback specifically, but I mean, whereas Bevel is like 100% hit rate, so I think I just kind of trust that a little bit more. But both are definitely intriguing options. They're guys the Jaguars have interviewed. I'm not sure if they've got any more plan to interview, what they're going to do. We'll have to just kind of see, go from there. But we do want to hit on the rest of the NFL coaching carousel and what's going on, just to update everyone. So we'll do that when we get back from these messages.
The NFL playoffs are here, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. Don't be that guy with no rooting interest as your relatives or friends sit around watching the games. Not this year, when the 53rd Super Bowl is just around the corner. It really is the most wonderful time of the year. Make sure you're ready for the daily action by signing up at MyBookie today. They pay fast when you win, ownership really cares about good customer service, and they offer the craziest props. Where you bet on is just as important as who you're betting with. And if you want to make money during bowl season, you gotta go to MyBookie. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out for yourself. Join now, and MyBookie will offer you a 50% deposit bonus to make sure you have a nice bankroll for bowl season. Just use promo code LOCKEDON when you deposit to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Remember, guys, where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. At MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid.
So, let's see. I think it's five teams have nailed down who their head coach is going to be. Maybe six. We've got Bruce Arians to Tampa, which, if you guys didn't know this already, Byron Leftwich is now a full-time offensive coordinator in the NFL for the first time ever. He will be under Arians in Tampa, paired with defensive coordinator Todd Bowles. They are building a sneaky, good coaching staff down there in Tampa to turn things around. Tampa Bay fans should be excited about that. So former Jaguars quarterback will have his first full-time offensive coordinator position. Then the Broncos today hired Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator from the Chicago Bears, to go and be their head coach. That was getting a lot of heat over the past couple of days, really heating up. People like that idea. It was kind of split between him or offensive line coach from the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Munchak, of being their head coach. So I'm curious to see how that one goes. The Jets apparently have a lot of interest in Matt Rhule, the Baylor head coach. Hasn't ever had an NFL head coaching job before. Be a really interesting one. He turned the Temple program around into a pretty solid AAC football program before leaving for Baylor. Turned that thing around pretty well, considering the controversies that were going on there. The Browns have decided to keep Freddie Kitchens as their head coach. There was debate on whether it would be him, Mike McCarthy, Kevin Stefanski, or whatever his last name is, who is now going to be the Minnesota Vikings full-time offensive coordinator, since he did not get the Browns job. Cliff Kingsbury is probably the most exciting, most controversial hire that's happened in this process by the Arizona Cardinals, and I freaking love it. A lot of people hate it. I love it. I am behind it. Let's see, Chris, can you think of the ones I'm missing out on right now? I know I'm missing a couple.
Matt LaFleur to the Packers.
Matt LaFleur to the Packers, another young offensive-minded coach going to try and build a relationship with Aaron Rodgers. I'm very curious to see how that time dynamic plays out. So we've got the Packers down. We've got Cleveland. We've got Arizona. Who am I blanking on?
That seems to be just about
Denver.
Denver, but, well, you said Vic Fangio already. That seems to be almost all of the ones that are.
Miami still needs to get their guy.
Yeah, nobody knows where he's going. Mike McCarthy said he was only going to go to the Jets and only the Jets, so I doubt he will be seeing a head coaching gig unless Matt Rhule falls through. So, just a little. That's what all I can think of off the top of the dome for the head coaching hires. I know there's a few more vacancies, but At least the Jags aren't having to go for a head coach right now.
Yeah, thank God. Now, I do want to talk about Kingsbury as well as how some of these hires affect the Jags. So I want to start with Miami. Now, like we just said, they haven't made their hire yet, but it is the word is that it's looking like Chris Richard, the defensive backs coach for the Cowboys, will be getting that job. That's what it looks like. Now, he is a Gus Bradley disciple and Pete Carroll disciple from Seattle. And that could mean one thing, and that could be Daryl Bevel might have a preference to go and work with a guy like Chris Richard, who he worked with for a while in Seattle, who could offer him probably a 3 or 4 year contract and not a 1 year deal in a lame duck situation like Jacksonville. And if Richard gets that job, I would really look to see if Bevel gets that offensive coordinator job. He might be holding out if he has an offer on the job right now, just to see how that happens down there in Miami. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on. But I do think Richard would be a decent option down there as well, an energetic guy. There are clips going around that they pick up from the broadcast of Richard being pumped up on the Dallas Cowboys sideline with the defense that they've put together down there in Dallas, especially with the defensive backs. But definitely something to watch out for Bevel. Now, I'm a big fan of Sean Ryan, and I've made that pretty clear on here, the Houston Texans quarterbacks coach. And there's a belief that he will be an offensive coordinator one day, perhaps very soon. And I would love to see him united with Bill O'Brien's friend, Doug Marrone, here in Jacksonville. But I believe a position opened up just the other day for him that could be a lot more likely. And that is the Tennessee Titans offensive coordinator job, because of who their coach is. Mike Vrabel, the head coach for the Tennessee Titans, got hired by the Titans last year from the Houston Texans, who was a Bill O'Brien disciple. So I think both of those guys could probably end up pairing together much more than Jacksonville and Sean Ryan right now. So rip my dream.
I mean, my Zach Taylor dream is still alive. I haven't really heard anything on him, which is kind of shocking, because he had a bunch of head coaching interviews to start the process, and then I haven't heard anything since. So Zach Ryan dream might still be alive for me. I'd be ecstatic if we got him. Just, you know, the Sean McVay tree and whatnot. So,
well, so the whole entire thing that's been going on in the coaching process is everyone is looking for the next Sean McVay, and I get it. I do. A lot more, like, everyone's calling that a buzzword now and are annoyed by it, but people, like, those are the people that don't understand where the NFL is going. Like, people that are hating on the Cliff Kingsbury hire because he didn't win at Texas Tech, even though he had Pat Mahomes and passed on Baker Mayfield. But no one's really taking the context there with Baker Mayfield. Kingsbury was hired the same year that Davis Webb enrolled there, the same year that Baker Mayfield walked on. It all happened at the same time. Mayfield was not a scholarship quarterback. That's not who, and he wasn't the quarterback he is now. I mean, a year and a half ago, he was a late day two, early day three quarterback prospect. Like, he was not as hyped up as he is right now. So him getting injured, throwing an interception a game in five games as a walk-on, and people want to blame Cliff Kingsbury for playing the dude that he personally recruited as his first quarterback recruit at Texas Tech in place of Mayfield. That just seems so off to me, you know? Like, why is that the argument?
Mm-hmm.
And as well as people are saying he didn't win with Pat Mahomes, but it's not like Texas Tech is some great recruiting place. I mean, like, yes, they're in Texas. There's a pool of talent. And guess who also recruits in Texas? The University of Texas. The University of Houston, which has become a really great program over the past 5 or 10 years that's developed a lot of NFL talent. Oklahoma has a major recruiting pool out of Texas. Like, Texas Tech is not high on the totem pole there. No one really knows where Lubbock, Texas is anyway.
I mean, I couldn't tell you where Lubbock, Texas is.
Most people can't. Someone responded to my mentions today saying they just drove through Lubbock, Texas because they were driving through Texas and didn't realize that they were just about to drive right through it.
So you find it by accident.
Like it popped up on their map saying, oh, you're about to drive through Lubbock. And they were like, oh, I've heard of that place. I had no idea it was anywhere around here. Oh, yeah, that's where Texas Tech is. Oh, cool. And then they left. It's not like Texas Tech is some great program that Kingsbury, like, they can't, the Big 12 defenses aren't good in the first place. But when you're low on the recruiting totem pole and you're a young head coach, and I mean, you're specializing in revolutionizing the offense. Like, he doesn't have the most the best outlook on defense. I'll definitely credit the people that are discrediting him that. But it's not like he had favorable odds. And at the NFL, he's not recruiting defenses. He's got a general management team that's piecing that together, and he's probably going to try and hire a pretty good defensive mind to pair with him. And I think they said they're delegating that to the front office to hire that guy. So I just don't get the hate on that hire, but that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the casual fans in the NFL, the ones that like remember the 80s and 70s and whatnot, when they didn't wear helmets, they don't seem to be realizing that the best teams in the league right now are all trending in one direction, where they're getting younger. Their offenses are getting more complex. They're opening up. It wouldn't surprise me if within the next 10 years that colleges are running more pro-style offenses than in the NFL. That just wouldn't surprise me. That seems like the perfectly weird flip for both college and the NFL to have, where you have guys in college running these kind of traditional pro style NFL offenses, and then you have the NFL just with these wide open flying offenses, Monday Night Football between the Rams and Chiefs, where each team's dropping 50 and defense doesn't matter. The NFL is about to become the Big 12, it seems like, and your whole thing is getting that coach that can take you to the Big 12 style offenses, where you're just cracking it open and just chucking it downfield and just racking up points. So these younger coaches, they're seeing that. A lot of these guys, they're like in their mid-30s. A lot of them haven't even hit 40 yet. They kind of grown up on this kind of style of offense and seeing this in college, and now they're implementing it. They are perfecting it. Shanahan was one of the first that I can remember that have kind of started this wave. And then you get the Sean McVay hiring out in LA. That offense starts booming. So you're going to kind of see this trend where teams are going to be going younger for head coaches, like they're going to hire guys like Matt LaFleur and Cliff Kingsbury for the Cardinals. And you're going to see guys... I saw a tweet yesterday where a lot of these defensive coordinators that have been relieved would be head coaches in an instant. And now teams are a little hesitant on that and are instead willing to take the chance on the young gun college coach or the young NFL assistant to lead their team to hopefully the promised land in a high firing offense. So that's the things that you're seeing right now. It's going to continue to happen, and hopefully the Jags, whoever they sign, can hopefully at least hop on this wave so they're not still left in the 70s like their offense is right now.
Did you see who the Cardinals are going to hire as their offensive coordinator to pair with Cliff?
I did not.
I think you're going to be excited, and I think it's going to match the point you're making, because you said it's kind of turning to the Big 12. They are hiring... what is it? I think he's now Houston's offensive coordinator, something like that. I can't remember exactly where he is right now, but Jake Spavital. And do you know where he coached for the past couple of years before this past season?
I think I saw the tweet, but I will just say no and let you answer.
West Virginia, your guy Will Grier's offensive coordinator for a year. Groomed him up very well in 2017. So yes, Big 12 football is coming to the NFL, and I'm with it. I think it's time for offensive revolution. It's starting, and you're lame if you're going to stay behind and say that defense
is... And which the Jaguars are very behind right now.
Defenses do not win championships in this day and age of the NFL, and the Jaguars need to catch up with that. But we want to thank you guys for listening to today's episode of Locked On Jaguars. I know it was kind of mixing around with some Jag stuff in NFL as a whole, but we wanted to touch on the coaching cycle and where it's at right now. And when we return, either tomorrow or in the next couple days, we hope to have some more news on the Jaguars offensive coordinator search. Zero back in on this roster. I think we're going to do a full roster breakdown, going position by position, or maybe offensive skill, the trenches, defensive skill, stuff like that, sometime next week before we head out to Mobile. So be sure to watch out for those episodes and check out LockedOnJaguars.com for all the content we got coming over there. We will catch you guys later.